Also, I'd like to mention, we're so thankful to have Sister Sarah Cox with us this morning. Thankful that you chose to worship with us today, and happy to have you with us.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate so much the prayer and the songs, and the way they were sung. And just feels like it's a good time to be here. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I may read a little bit more, but I just want to notice one phrase in one verse. Luke 24, verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? That phrase right there. If we get a little backstory, you know, Christ joined unto him these two that were walking, and you know they were sorrowful, and he asked them certain questions. And you know, I love the questions that the Lord asks, because the Lord asked directly what the problem is. He's not asking because he needs information. If the Lord's asking a question, he's not wanting info. That's how we do. We ask questions because we need something. The Lord's asking questions for us to think about where we're at. And these two, you know, they said we had trusted in him. But then the Lord, you know, told them, he said in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. These two had forgotten something, hadn't they? Yeah. Now, let's not be too critical of them.
That's right.
We live on this side of Calvary. We have his printed word that we can read. It's so readily available. How much are we availing ourselves to this word? Even this day and age, when we have this word that is so readily available, there's still some times that we are foolish and slow of heart to believe. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. Let's just face that. We could be just like them even now. There's some things that we just are slow to believe. But if the Lord has opened your eyes, touched and tendered your heart to reveal his word unto you, brethren and sisters, we know that we have a risen Savior. We know why he had to suffer. I don't like to think that my Lord had to hang upon a cross and endure all that for me. Me. I don't want anybody to do that for me. Especially him. One who did no wrong. One who even Pontius Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, because there was no fault. None whatsoever. Had no sin about him, no guile in his mouth. But yet he had to suffer. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? It had been spoken. It was in the works. Things had to go the way they did. It just had to be. You know, even Peter, I identify with Peter a lot of times. You know, sometimes I'll shoot off at the mouth before I have a chance to think. You know, even when Jesus was telling Peter and his apostles what was going to happen, he was going to Jerusalem and he'd have to suffer. And Peter was just like, not so, Lord. No, this shall never be unto thee. Had he known exactly what he was saying? Had he known? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He had to. It had been spoken. The prophecies had been made. The word of God had been declared. It had to be that way. Now, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And in verse 27, he says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself." Now, some people are shocked when you say that Christ is in the Old Testament. I hope and pray that no old Baptist is shocked that Christ is in the Old Testament, because he is throughout the Bible. Throughout. We can see so many examples. And one of my favorite examples is Genesis chapter 22. That beautiful picture. You know, where God spoke to Abraham and told him to take his son, his only son. Don't you love that part right there? His only son. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Biologically, Abraham had two sons. Well, there's only one promised child. There was only one child that this was going to apply to. Don't we see that picture of election? Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him to a sacrifice. Can you imagine somebody coming to you and say, "I need you to take your child, your only child, and offer them as a sacrifice to me"? I can't even imagine what that would be like. But Abraham trusted in God. Oh, to have the faith of Abraham. Let the Lord tell me to do something, I just do it. As us parents, we would love for our children to just do what we tell them to do. Just do what we tell you to do. I know I wasn't a perfect child. My father's sitting right here. He knows. He can tip. Yeah, thank you. But when Christ came to this earth as Messiah, you know, he's Emmanuel, God with us. He did always that which pleased him. Always. I tell you, Mary, she was a blessed individual having a child who always was doing right. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that even as a youngster, growing up, doesn't matter what age he was, he always did that which pleased him. So as far as ought not Christ to have suffered these things that we're talking about, all the prophets had spoken, all the prophecies of what was going to happen, how we were to be reconciled to God. He was the only fit sacrifice. Now, back to Genesis chapter 22. You know, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son. Now, Abraham trusted in God. And the faith that that man had, taking his son and building that altar and laying his only son on that altar, even to the point of raising the knife. But that angel called out to him, "Save your hand." He looked behind him.
Yes, he did.
And he saw a ram just standing there that they were going to have to catch. Just standing there tied. No, he was caught. A ram caught. Can you see that picture? That ram wasn't going anywhere. Christ wasn't going anywhere except to do the Father's will. That's a beautiful picture. You know, I can only imagine that, you know, I've been in some pretty bad stuff, in some briars and vines and stuff like that. And I've gotten hung up in some barbed wire and stuff like that. But it could have been just one little twig that thing was caught on. And the Lord said, "No, you're not going anywhere." It was caught. It was going to happen. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? We see that beautiful picture of that ram caught. That ram took the place of Isaac. took his place upon that altar. Abraham did not have to slay his only son. They offered that ram. Can you imagine? Christ took my place on that altar. Let's make it personal. He took my place on that altar. I could give my life for you, but it wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't save us from sins. There was only one. That's why he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? There was only one who was that fit sacrifice. Even in the Garden of Eden, if we go back to the very first of the Bible, even in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, you know, they didn't have any clothes, they were naked, they needed a covering, and they tried to cover with fig leaves. But you saw later that the Lord took animal skins to make a covering for them. Blood had to be shed. Something had to be sacrificed. That animal took their place. And all these sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that they did, all the work that the priest had to do, none of those things could take away sins. But they were a picture of that one who was coming. They were a picture, and they were a reminder that something was going to take your place. And all the prophecies spoke of him. Real quick, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now that's the thing. The sacrifices had to be made over and over and over, year after year after year. It just had to be, because then those sacrifices couldn't do what Jesus was going to do. It was just a picture. It was just a reminder. And it says, verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscious of sins. You know, if they could have taken away sins, they wouldn't have had to do it over and over again. But it couldn't take away sin. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made for sin every year. It just had to go on and on and on. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. There was only one. Remember that phrase, ought not Christ to have suffered these things. It had to be. In the interest of time, let's skip on down to verse 12. But this man, talking of Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I don't know how much y'all remember about the Old Testament, but in the temple and the Holy of Holies, there was only one seat back there. It was the mercy seat. But that wasn't a place to sit down, because the priest's job was never done. Christ entered in once into the holy place and sacrificed for sins. He sat down. His job was finished. He proclaimed on the cross, it is finished. So there is no reason for animal sacrifices anymore. I hear so much about, you know, wanting to restore the temple and start up the sacrifices again. For what? The work has been finished. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Remember, he talked about all the prophets had spoken, calling for this one event that was going to happen. And it happened. And Christ, when he made his offering, now his offering was not to us. Let's not get too puffed up.
That's
right. Our offering was not made to sinners. Christ came to save sinners, not offer himself to sinners.
Amen.
Christ came to save sinners. That offering was to God.
There you go.
And it was accepted.
Yes.
You know, we have some examples in the Old Testament about an offering being made, but maybe God rejected it or didn't accept it. It wasn't pleasing to him. No, his offering that he made upon the cross was pleasing to him. It was accepted because he was the only one who could. The only fit sacrifice. Sinless and perfection Christ is the only fit sacrifice. So verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them that are sanctified. We are saved by his blood.
Amen.
His blood alone.
Amen.
By him.
Amen.
And it's that grace that he bestows upon us. You know, we see in the very foundation of the world, before the very foundation of the world, he chose his people. Brothers and sisters, if you feel a tugging at your heartstrings when you know you've done wrong, or you feel convicted of something that I've done, or if you even show forth a little love to someone, any good comes from God. And if you feel that love, if you feel a conviction, it's just that evidence that you are among the sanctified. I don't feel like much like a saint. A lot of times I feel like the lowest, worthiest saint, if you will. But he's the are sanctified, perfected them forever, them that are sanctified, by one offering. The offerings can cease. Christ didn't come to destroy the old law service. He came to fulfill it.
Amen.
It has been fulfilled. It has been finished. It's accomplished. There's no more need for that because Christ's work was accepted and it was done to perfection. Kept the law to a jot and a tittle, if you will. So we see, you know, on those two that were listening to him when he expounded to them from all the prophets, starting at Moses, all the prophets talking of them, of those things concerning himself. We see Christ throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament isn't useless. It may be the Old Testament, but if you don't see the part of the Old Testament and see those sacrifices that had to be made over and over and over again, that is just a just continual, just having to do the same thing over and over again because we can't do it. The blood of bulls and goats cannot save us from our sins. I cannot save us from our sins. Who can? Christ, for by one offering, satisfied the Old Testament. So now we have the New Testament. The New Testament. Christ came and he taught and he preached. So brothers and sisters, let us learn of his word. We have it, especially this day and age. It's so readily available. Let's learn of the one who came and saved me. Again, make it personal. The one who came to save me. Let's learn of him. Let's follow his commandments. Let's follow his word. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we would continue to learn of him and follow after him.
Amen.
For the one who had to come and suffer. Remember that phrase. When we're thinking about doing things, remember that phrase. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And he suffered those things for us. May the Lord bless you.